Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It is truly unbelievable, one, that a country Queensland boy would be talking to Sita in Sydney. And secondly, it's more even greater, more unbelievable that I'd actually be described as the MD of a large energy company. However, the Chinese, Beijing Olympics have just finished, so I sort of thought I should start with a couple of Chinese proverbs, because I think that will paint the picture. The first is the Chinese curse of may you live in interesting times. And the second is a perverted Confucian saying that if you're up to your chin in sewerage, make no waves. And so if we're talking about powering the future, sewerage may become more relevant. I'm actually will take some license with this. I don't necessarily see gas as just the cleaner electricity fuel. I actually do think there is, if we're willing to have the vision, a transport component that can be part of the cleaner fuel future. The fact that Sydney does not have compressed natural gas buses doesn't mean that Brisbane can't. And the fact that Sydney doesn't have natural gas vehicles doesn't mean those small cities of 22 million people of New Delhi or Mumbai doesn't. The fact that needs to be explored as well. But this is the place of the first settlers, and in many ways you can say it's facing, in the electricity terms, more problems than the early settlers. In 2013, they need to install an extra 12.5% of its installed capacity. That is in 5 years' time. If you go gas-fired power station, it is 3 years from when you get your production slot. It's 2 years now to get to the production slot, and you've still got all your environmental permits. And in the words of Jake the Peg, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2013 is five fingers away. That is getting too close for comfort. And that's on the assumption that the forecasts are indubitably accurate. And in my experience in the electricity market, they are very accurate in their inaccuracy. They have always underestimated the growth, in particular on the price impacts and demand side management, when in fact a lot of the electricity demand will become price insensitive. I mean, I sort of asked, and I see Alan Young from JP Morgan, is JP Morgan going to leave Sydney because it is paying 95% of the electricity prices of New York or London? Is electricity prices the sole determinant of whether you've got a financial capital here? And the fact that we're actually catching up with our other financial centres in electricity prices is not going to drive the financial sector out of the city. Similarly, if you go and take all of the coal mining developments that once the bottlenecks go, are they going to really care about the electricity price as to whether they go and put a drag line on or whatever else, when in fact 5 years ago, or nearly 6 years ago, they were making investments to put drag lines in there, even when it was somewhere around about $30 US a tonne for coal, and it's 140 US a tonne of coal. So you can see there's a price insensitivity involved in it. Then you take, this is the Chinese curse being developed, coal-fired power station faces a very interesting number of hurdles. First and foremost is the courtesy of O'Farrell ownership. Where is the ownership of the coal-fired power stations going to be? Secondly is that increasing coal price. When all of these coal-fired power stations were built, we were looking at a paradigm of somewhere between $30 and $40 US a tonne FOB Newcastle, which is the least opaque marker I'm not saying it's accurate, but it's the least opaque marker. The cost of net backing that to where the coal is produced hasn't gone up at the same percentage as the export price. That's the first point I make. Second point I make is that the increase now of $120 to $140 US a tonne for FOB Newcastle is going to change on its head a whole host of other paradigms. For example, 48% ash is high ash coal, therefore must be used for domestic market. That was ordained by God when he gave someone tablets from Mount Ararat, and that is where it is going to be when I die. Because I challenge you that it is a simple economic proposition. That if you can wash it down to 8%, you will lose 20% of your product. You've still got your cost. So instead of getting $25 US a tonne, you effectively will only get $100 US a tonne. I wonder which one I'll take. It doesn't take much of an economic analysis. And even I can work it out that I'll prefer to sell my product for $100 net than $25 net. But I'm willing to get some modellers to come in and double check that assumption. Because unless it's come from a computer, the human brain is absolutely incapable of making decisions. So you've got this increasing coal price netback that has to, the debottlenecking of Newcastle and the rail system. I mean, imagine the rail system and Newcastle Port actually working. You can. I was listening to the Foxtel, the number one song of the best 5,000 was Imagine from John Lennon, so I can sort of sit there and, in the same sense, imagine an efficient rail system and a port. It's certainly possible. And then if you throw that in top, you've got a carbon pricing. You can see my Queensland heritage. You can see carbon pricing coming in. And how is that going to change the landscape and the order of merits in addition to all the others? So then you go and say, well, what is it that can meet this new demand, 12.5% incremental demand by 2013, which is the Owen report. It's not mine, I have a different one, but I'll stick with the public one. And the maximum you'll get is around about 1.5% to 2% of that will come from renewables in the time frame. So the rest has to come from probably gas or coal-fired. And I've talked about the coal-fired. But then you've got a problem. That the Aishon regime, let them eat cake. The Aishon regime of the gas market was, ever since Rex Connor had his pipe dream, was that there was going to be this magical, mystical new source of gas coming from northern Australia. It was going to come from North West Shelf into Moomba, then East Timor, Timor Sea, then East Timor, then Papua New Guinea. And they found out that PNG was probably the most accurate because it actually stood for pipe no gas. But the prime issue, however, was there was no reason to build gas transportation infrastructure, because if you didn't know where that pipeline, where that new gas source was going to be, you're going to be left with a stranded asset. So part of what QGC is trying to do and has tried to do in all of the machinations that we've been in is try to turn adversity into opportunity. It's very hard when the bastards are out to get you that you can stop being paranoid. But it is important that you get that clarity of thought. And so you can see during the Santos takeover, we went to the Australian Gorilla Limited and were able to do a deal with them that actually caused infrastructure to be built. The fact that it caused the Moomba to Ballera interconnect was important to us. And that was, so it wasn't just the defence, it was the infrastructure. And equally, we see the infrastructure being built connecting Queensland to New South Wales, which is a very brave thing because, I mean, the Queensland-New South Wales relationship is very much like the British-Australian relationship, and I was commenting this morning, that British bus, I just thought it was a fantastic sense of humour, that had UK medals 19, Australian medals 14, and then it just had this line, "Where the bloody hell were you?" And I thought, well, we do deserve a bit of a come up, but it actually reminded me of the New South Wales Queensland relationship, because it's a lot of good fun, and it's a good excuse for a good beer, but it is important to us as QGC that we actually become a national company. We think it is important that we actually create gas and gas competition. It's important that we see as many debottlenecking as possible on infrastructure, including transmission and electricity generation. CSG has got a large breadbasket. If you take the fact that we're about the size of continental USA and about 10% of US gas supplies is actually coming from coal seam gas, you can see that is around about 20 times Australia's needs if we were able to get the same pricing and the same efficiency. It is a huge, huge chance. However, it takes a hell of a lot of time to prove it up. There's a view that if you're an American now, the hard yards that ourselves and other companies have done in proving up, and I just remind people that when I started the growth acceleration strategy in 2006, I put $60 million down, and we had a couple of ides of March, AGL and DG. Notice there's always a G there. We will have spent by June 2009 $500 million on exploration and proving up our reserves. There's a view, however, as long as you've got coal, you go down to the second aisle on the third shelf. If you're in the US, it's Walmart, it's Sainsbury's, if you're in the UK, and if you're in New South Wales, it's Woolworths, and there you can get your certified reserves and flonk them on the table, and there's no such thing as any exploration risk or any exploration difficulties attached to it, because coal is the most, it was made by the Japanese with wonderful quality control, and there's no variability at all attached to it, and it's the only natural resource that doesn't have variability. Well, you tell that to a coal miner, and you can see my nose even trying to be sarcastic, Grew, as I said it. Coal is the most heterogeneous of all commodities, of all natural resources. So it does take a long time to prove it up, and it requires a high degree of scientific methods. If you take the natural gas that we do produce, QGC's extremely low in CO2. We've got about 1% nitrogen, 0.25% CO2, and so it carries up to 60 times less carbon than even its natural gas competitors. So that's an amazing stat. That CSG, at least in the Surat, is 60 times less carbon intensive than conventional natural gas. So when you want environmental sanctimonious rectitude coupled with capitalist greed, go to CSG. And I tell you, that's the best, that is a horse that's going to win every carbon intensity race. If you go and then say that you've got places like Mumbai or New Delhi, when Mumbai converted to their taxi fleets, etc., to compress natural gas, they got a 90% reduction in CO2, a 50%, 60% reduction in carbon monoxide. They were paying 40% of the pricing. They saved 100% of the particulates emissions. So you've got more fuel with no particulates emissions, huge reductions in CO2 and CO, and it costs you less to drive your car. Now, you can understand why in a democracy you wouldn't possibly go for that formula. Something that cleans up the environment, costs the consumer less, and is giving you energy security. That has to be the policy you put on the ultimate back burner, because it's a triple bottom line from a democratic government cannot possibly be thought about. I've been told that I can't be cynical when it comes to politics, because otherwise something nasty will be done to me. But I actually do beseech all of the governments in Australia to think about what their response was to the second oil shock when they started to introduce LPG into the taxi fleets. They know the policy prescriptions that are there. What is wrong with cleaning up the environment, saving people money, meeting our emissions control targets, and having energy security? If they, all of those four things are not worth thinking about, then I'm happy to be guided by other people. But it's not just the fact that in electricity you only use 40% less water, or even down to 10% of the water of coal-fired. It's not the fact that you're going to have 40% per megawatt of the CO2s. There's a whole host of reasons why we should stimulate this natural gas sector, not just for the export economy. It requires governments to get behind the vision. It requires companies to get behind the vision. It requires you to take a long-term view. And when I came to QGC, we had 3.1 million in the bank, 2.9 million of existing debts. And that was what I inherited. We have now been called by the ACCC a vigorous and effective competitor. We still believe in the domestic market. We still want, as Queenslanders, to be part of this great nation and to sometimes trade with New South Wales without getting bolts of lightning. And we hope that the world of politics can actually recognise how important it is to stimulate the energy security on both the transportation and electricity fronts for our nation's benefit. Thank you.